Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Caravan of Garbage, where we are actively making our way through the Hobbit trilogy, Mason, aren't we?
We are grinding through it. Here's a little quote from whatever Lee Pace's character is called in this movie. 100 years is a mere blink in the life of an elf. Yeah, you bloody get him to bloody watch these bloody movies. I tell you what, see if you change your mind, Lee Pace, you bloody
I got him.
All they're long movies. They're very long.
Yeah, I wish he was in this more than his son. Is in it. She's not in the book at all.
I see.
But does a lot of surfing around on orcs and whatnot, doesn't he?
Yeah.
A lot of padding for time with Legolas.
Here's the thing about this movie is, and the thing about Peter Jackson generally.
Okay.
You know, people. I'm sure when people watched the original Lord of the Rings trilogy, they went, Peter Jackson, master storyteller.
Yeah.
And that is true.
Yeah.
Like those movies are a masterpiece. But he has also mastered a different thing in this, which is to stretch every scene to its absolute breaking point, given the amount of narrative that it has, but without it snapping. So it's like, boy, what if all the dwarves were in a spider's nest and they're being attacked by giant spiders? That's pretty exciting. What if it was 30 minutes long? I mean, I guess. And then it ends and we're like, all right, more movie, is it?
What if they were in barrels? How many barrels are they in? They're in the same number of barrels that they're in. And what if it went for 30 minutes?
What if one was in a barrel and then the barrel broke and he jumped out and then he fell into another barrel that was also going in the river. There was just a spare barrel, I guess. I don't know. I actually quite like the barrel sequence. There's a moment where one of the dwarfs busts out. He's like a big barrel robot. I thought that was fun.
See, what about the bit during that sequence where there's a few shots where it just looks like a 2002 digital camera, like that somebody's dropped it into a river? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I absolutely do,
There's a couple of moments. Anyways, I would like, Mason, you and the people watching this video to give me a kudos and leave it a like, because I actually did the homework, Mason. I read The Hobbit in lead up to this.
You've read that children's book.
It's quite long, Mason. And by read, I mean I read some of it and had Andy Serkis read the rest of it to me through audiobook format.
You didn't bring him round to your house.
I wish, Mason. Put him in a mocap suit, sit him in a big rocking chair, and just go for it.
You're going to be Stephen Fry. We're going to mocap you to be Stephen Fry. He's a better audiobook narrator. He's also in this.
He is in this, yeah.
Big time guest stars in this, I think.
Yeah,
more
time.
So than The Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, there were less kind of really well-known people in Lord of the Rings, I guess. And look, I just want to say on the topic of the book, I fucking loved it, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I really did, like, the whimsy, the wonder, the songs, Mason. Mm-hmm. Maybe not as much, but it's better when Andy Serkis sings them. It's really fantastic, and also somehow from 1937.
Yeah, right.
It's really phenomenal. Like, I cannot stress that enough. This is not a bit. I genuinely loved it, and now I want Andy Serkis to read me The Lord of the Rings next. This is not an ad. I should get this sponsored. It's probably too late.
Is that available? Can you get Andy Serkis to read Lord of the Rings?
No, he does the audiobooks.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Mm. But look, it also had me appreciate seeing some of the things that I'd read, like seeing them in live action, and made me also ignore a lot of the noise
which
is surrounding the things from the book.
Okay.
Also, a couple of apologies. I said in the last video that I hate how powered up Gandalf is, how he's using like pine cone grenades. That's in the book. And also I was like, why would Sauron need a dragon? He's got a bunch of other stuff. He's got a bunch of other shit. What does he need a dragon for?
And in the book it's revealed his wife took it all in the divorce. He doesn't have any of that stuff. He has to get a dragon and stuff.
He's got it all. But look, when the dragon is revealed in this, I'm like, Oh, yeah, he's pretty big, actually, isn't he?
It's a great dragon design, I think.
One flaw, though.
Go on.
He's got a big hole in him.
Yeah, but that's not a technical hiccup. They didn't do that by accident.
I mean, just as, like, as a weapon of war.
Oh, sure.
I can't remember the third movie. I can't remember whether the guy who has the big crossbow, bow and arrow thing on top of a big, like, stone tower, I can't remember whether he does shoot that big hole in the dragon or not.
We'll have
to wait and see, won't
we? Sure will. Yeah, that's right. There's a little bit of that, isn't there? I mean, if you were to point out one flaw in the dragon,
it's the hole.
I'm going to point out two flaws. One of which is there's a lot of like setups of like, oh my god, we need to light these furnaces, but there's no, we don't have a fire available. Where could there be some fire? Well, actually, we do because of the dragon produces the fire.
Yeah,
and he did.
Yeah, we saw him do it.
And also, folks, if you're out there, you maybe haven't seen these, and you're a big fan of like the scene in a movie, maybe the penultimate scene in the movie, where it seems like all hope is lost,
yeah,
and everybody is sort of resigned to their fates. But then, from you know, just outside your field of vision, it's like some guy from earlier shows up, and you're like, "Oh my god, it's that dumbass from earlier! He's gonna save the day." There's a big, you know, swelling music.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That happens, I think, in every scene in this movie,
and the first one, I believe.
Yeah, well, it's the whole, but it's been really, it really hit me hard in this one. It's like, oh my god, guys, it's Bilbo. Oh my god, it's Gandalf. Oh my god, it's Evangeline Lilly and Orlando Bloom. Oh my god, it's Evangeline Lilly and Orlando Bloom for a second time. Can you believe this?
So it's basically, it's anybody you can't see on screen.
Yeah, at any point they could just. It's you know, at the end of Star Wars, great shot, kid. That was one in a million. It's just that. If you just wanted that every scene in a movie.
But not the feeling.
Yes.
just the physical act just of that happening.
Oh, it's this again, isn't it?
Yeah. I also, in reading the book, I don't know if you know this, but I read the book.
Is this going to be a series of videos on books, James?
I hope not. But it's also mentioned in passing at the very end. Frodo's like, or Bilbo's, whoever he is.
It's Bilbo.
Like, is it? He's like,
what? I'm confident it is, so it probably isn't.
Martin Freeman says, hey, it's great that you're here, Gandalf. What happened? Where you been? He's like, oh, yeah, I'm at the council and, it's something about dark magic or whatever. And that's it. Whereas in this, we get the entire Gandalf side quest and we get him fighting a big black wind at one point. And it's all very boring, Mason. And, you know, the other wizard's there and he's like, oh, what am I doing here? And he's like, yeah, what are you doing here? Fuck off. I'm going to do this by myself.
It's a testament to the weird goop on his face that it's taken me two movies to realize that was Sylvester McCoy.
Okay. Well, look, he's good. Don't get me wrong.
But he has that goop on his face.
I love Sylvester McCoy. He's amazing. He was an amazing Dr. Hoob. Also, Mason.
It's Dr. Hoomst.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I think they did Mirkwood really well. Like, a lot of people might have been like, is that Fangorn Forest? Is that the same forest from Lord of the Rings?
Uh-huh.
I didn't have to look that up. It's a different, spooky, twisted forest,
whoa,
Mason. Yeah. And as someone who's read the book, I enjoyed that. I also liked the bit where they de-legged.
Every caravan of garbage we're going to do from this point forward, it's going to be, James is going to give it a lot of, boy, this has got a lot of Hobbit vibes. There's action, adventure, there's a bit of magic, you know?
Yeah. And we're talking about, I don't know, the Poseidon Adventure remake or whatever. They de-legged that spider. Remember that bit?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty terrible. That's a terrible thing. They're the spiders, whatever. But the thing is, though, it still really feels like Lord of the Rings light. You know, we get the pretty little dwarf get, you know, poisoned by the poisoned weapon, you know, the dark magic weapon. We get like a little wormy right-hand man. He's like,
sure.
I'm being a little creep.
I think every dynamic has a, it works best when there's a weird little creep in it. Wouldn't you agree, James?
Oh, I thought I was a weird little creep.
Well, I mean, it depends on the week.
I guess it does, yeah. Did you like the callback where he's like, that's my son Gimli?
I did love that so much.
And Legolas is like, I'm in the other movies.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sounds like something I wouldn't like, but then I would slowly learn to respect.
Well, here's something that I slowly learned to respect, Mason.
Go on.
Now, a love story in these films are about to blossom. And I'm not just talking about my love for the book The Hobbit, Mason, which I recently read. But this love story between the...
A lot of Boss Baby vibes about this. Yeah, we get it, all right?
The big love story is the She-Elf, who she's called, Kate from Lost. Shelf, by the way. That's weird. Also, I guess I can't really begrudge them putting like a prominent female character in this because there's none in the book.
Right.
I can't even remember if any are referenced. Like, presumably somebody says Galadriel at some point.
Okay,
but
sure.
But it's mostly dudes just going, ha, 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 ha.
There's probably a few. Oh, the misses.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Ur upstairs.
Oh, yeah. Bilbo's always like, yeah, my fucking cousin I hate or whatever. You know, there's a lot of that going on. But God, that love story, and I guess we'll talk about it more next week. That's not very good, is it?
Sure isn't.
My goodness.
And again, he should be a weirder little dude.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
I agree.
He's too handsome. Like, yeah, sure, the handsome man and the beautiful woman are going to fall in love. He should be a beautiful woman and just one of the regular dwarves.
Yeah.
Just with just a big nose and a goopy eye.
Exactly.
And he wins her over with his personality.
And his goopy eye.
And his goopy eye.
Yeah, because I think also...
Don't give us the GQ model guy. He's come on.
I completely agree. He doesn't even have, like, a big prosthetic nose on.
That's
it's
what
just
I'm saying.
A wig.
Mm.
Or it's his real beautiful hair. I don't
Maybe.
Know. No, I think it's a wig. But that's the thing, though, because you're right, because every now and then they'll cut to, like, a dwarf, and I'm like, who's that?
Right?
I don't know. Is he new?
Is he new from the last one, or is this what is this? Yeah. Cut a few, I'm just saying, just chop a few. I don't care if they're all in the book. Just chop a few.
Yep.
That's what they should have done pre-production.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Peter...
Meld some of them together.
Yeah.
Like, with magic. They just... they're in a smelting accident.
Yeah, sure. They fell into a wizard's fire.
Mm.
Yeah. And Peter Jackson actually had this fear going into this. He's like in the book, Mason, which I recently had read to me by Andy Serkis, is that they're not distinguished that well. Like, there's a few ones that stand out, but they're mostly just like, you know, the one with the blue hood. And I'm like, no, I don't actually.
No.
I don't know which that one.
Sort of, you know, with his clothes are sort of bluey, browny, grey. Oh, all of them. Oh, okay.
His beard's slightly shorter than the other guy's beard. Oh, is it? Yeah, but Bilbo ends up doing, like, most of the work. And the idea that he's going to get a 14th share of this treasure is, quite frankly, outrageous.
You think he should have slit a few throats? Maybe while the rest of them were sleeping?
Yeah, I think so. Well, look, he's the one, right, where he rescues them from the Elf King and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who opens the magic door on the side of the mountain. Where the rest of them get there.
Oh, no, I'm going to lose the key. Oh, no, wait. Swelling music. A guy's going to show up. Here we go. It's fine. He saved the key. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. The rest of them, they're like, where's the keyhole?
Let's just give up, I reckon.
Yeah, let's give up. He's the one who goes and confronts the dragon for some reason.
At a certain point, I think if you realize you're on an epic adventure,
yep,
you should just not constantly be giving up, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Especially when you get to the door of the thing you're going to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just knock. Maybe there's somebody in there.
Oh, absolutely. Let's talk about Smaug, though.
Okay.
Now, initially, one of the ideas was, how do you get a dragon to talk realistically? You know, they went through multiple incarnations. They thought maybe we'll make him telepathic, but it didn't really work.
Mm.
And eventually
It's a
bit modern, isn't it?
Maybe finger puppets.
Maybe, yeah. Mm. Maybe what they did in the movie Aragorn. Does that one talk?
Who knows?
Maybe what they did
in the voice movie... of Sean Connery.
Well, Dragonheart, I was going to say.
Yeah,
Dragonheart. Yeah, good movie, maybe. Mm. Who knows? But yeah, I think all that dragon stuff is terrific. And what they ended up doing, they went for like a classic dragon look. Peter Jackson was like, I don't want like a creature, like an alien. I want like a classic dragon. I think what they've settled on is perfect. And they move all of the performance to like the front of the face.
Yeah, right.
You know? And you really capture all that Benedict Cumberbatcherisms.
Mm.
That's all true. You've seen the behind the scenes stuff, I'm sure.
Sure have.
People, like every now and then, like a clip.
He's a weird grey spotty worm on the ground.
Exactly.
A grey worm covered in tennis balls.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
But, you know, every now and then a clip will turn up on Twitter that's like, try and love something as much as Benedict Cumberbatch loves being a big dragon. And I'm like, no, I don't love anything that much. I don't think. But all that's great, you know?
And he's a good, terrifying, unstoppable monster with an obvious weakness, which is what we like.
His love for...
cannolis.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Hard to get in Middle Earth, I tell you what.
Yeah, and he's in that. Yeah, and he's in
that. He's hoarding them all, and they've all gone bad.
What is a dragon even doing with all that gold? I guess he's got gold madness or whatever.
Yeah, they love it.
They love it, do they?
They just love it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. What's he eating in there?
Gold and cannolis.
Well, not cannolis. Because he wouldn't be able to get many, I'd imagine. Unless there's a big cannoli smelting facility in there I didn't see that's going on. But even then, how does he operate it, you know?
Well, he doesn't. He's got Italians in there.
Does he?
Yeah.
I didn't know he had a bunch of Italians in there. I also enjoyed how he gets covered by the liquid gold statue. And he's like, ah!
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems, too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ah, terrible time for me. Hate this.
Sure.
Really good.
What a plan by the dwarves, though. Just make a big gold guy. And what, hope it comes to life? What are you doing?
Maybe they're hoping he'd rush it off screen.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
I don't know, to be honest. Mm. Yeah. He's like a big, goopy, like, chocolate egg, you know?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
I like that. I like all of that.
Smaug can fly. What if he just moved out of the way?
Yeah.
Also, it didn't work.
No, it didn't work. Didn't even fill up his hole.
What if he had just decided, instead of to go to, you know, destroy the neighboring town, just kill all the dwarves?
Yeah.
Because they just engoldened him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Mm. Great question. Great points.
Well, it wouldn't have happened because they're the main characters, so.
Yeah, exactly. Just quickly to get back to how this is Lord of the Rings light.
Mm-hmm.
Aragorn shows up. And by that I mean Luke Evans shows up and he's like, yes. I've got an ancestor who did a thing like Aragorn, but then he failed at that thing. And now for some reason, it's up to me to do that thing. And also, I carry all the pressures and burdens and guilt of that thing that I didn't do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
That's what it's like in this awful, awful town.
But also, I think he's a great inclusion and you need to flesh this character out more because in the
book... He needs to show up later when there's a pivotal scene.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hello. Because in the book, they're like, anyway, the dragon was having a big siege on the town.
Mm.
And then this guy showed up and shot it with an arrow.
Right.
So sure. That's pretty much how it goes in the book, which yeah. I read. And
you sure you didn't read a version that had some pages missing or
maybe
torn out, you know?
Maybe I did, Mason. Mm.
James, did you read a copy that was abandoned by like a lavatory or something? Is that and some pages were required for emergency use?
Maybe I did, Mason. Yeah. Here's a question though.
Yeah,
oh, actually,
on.
A couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of beheading in this.
There is.
Like it's a crazy amount.
Mm.
Some say too much.
Not
I
many.
Say that's fine.
Mm.
Just do more, if anything. Second question, and this goes back.
Wait,
to...
Wait, was the first one a question?
No. Second thing that I'm saying.
Okay.
And this goes back to...
Beheadings, your thoughts? Yeah, good, I reckon.
You remember that viral TikTok that was like, here's how I'd change this...
I'll stop you there, James. I remember all viral TikToks.
Okay.
No, go ahead, go on.
Here's how I'd change that woman from Stranger Things' face to make her, like, put fillers in her or whatever. Did you
nope.
see any of that?
Absolutely not.
Anyway, it was a whole thing. And it got me thinking, looking at any of these ugly-ass orcs...
Mm-hmm.
With modern dentistry and plastic surgery,
go on.
Is it possible to turn one of these into a normal-looking person? Is that a strange thing to think?
Yes. Have you done that?
Wait, yes, it's possible, or yes, it's strange?
I wouldn't rule it out. I think yeah. it's possible.
You know.
Mm.
I mean, you probably wouldn't get the one, like the second main one with all the like the divots in his head
yeah,
and metal.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You could probably do it to like the white one, maybe.
Mm.
But I don't know. I just think that's something sure. to contemplate.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, you could certainly spruce him up enough to, like, you know, sneak him into like a like a Dungeons and Dragons playing party or something like that.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah, yeah.
In there, I reckon.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like My Fair Lady him or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You could do that too.
Or Your Family.
That's good stuff,
absolutely,
Mason.
Absolutely got you.
Yeah. Now, Mason, I actually do want to talk about the permanent and negative effect this had on the New Zealand film industry.
Oh.
But before we do that, it's Green Trivia time, everybody.
Oh, trivia.
This is where I go, hey, here's a thing that I thought.
And I say, that's trivia-rific.
That's right. So I don't know if you've noticed this, but I found it more prominent in this movie. All the dwarves are wearing prosthetics to make their hands bigger and chunkier.
Right? Much like those big hobbit fake hobbit feet, right?
Exactly. Well, first time around with the hobbit feet in the Lord of the Rings movies, they'd glue them around the ankles. This time they went all the way up the leg. It was a little bit easier. You pull it on like a big rubber sock, Mason, you know?
Sure.
Anyway, so similar thing with their arms. But what would happen is you'd sweat through them and then it would mix with like the latex and then you'd squeeze your hand and like a milky residue would drip out of it. And when they pull the hands off, sure. Like it would like flick like white sweat everywhere. Awful, yes, that's right.
And all the dwarf actors became addicted to that weird milky juice. You see him out there to this day, you know, trying to replicate it.
Yeah.
Can't do it though.
Reach that high, yeah. Anyways, that's...
Oh, that's trivia-rific.
That is, isn't it? Now, a lot of vegetation, obviously, on a big movie like this, needed to be cultivated for various, like, landscape scenes and backgrounds and farms and whatnot. And this time around, they did a similar thing. And under certain lights, it would give it, like, a blue hue, which then led to the working title of this movie, which was Blue Harvest.
Oh, that's interesting.
Funnily enough, Mason, the same working title for the original Star Wars from 1977.
Well, that's trivia-rific.
And pure coincidence. Isn't that great?
It's trivia-rific.
18 million gold coins were rendered, Mason. For Smaug's treasure.
That's terrific.
Smaug.
And I bet...
Some people say Smaug.
I reckon probably like a month beforehand, they're like, we put the wrong king on the coins. Can you change it, guys?
Yeah.
CGI guys, can you change it?
Or can you at least flip them all up to tails so we can't see them?
Right.
Yeah. According to Forbes also, this is interesting. Was that trivia?
Yeah, it was trivia.
Okay,
yeah,
I thought so.
Look... I'm already sick of the bit, so let's just assume from this point forward, I think everything is trivia-rific.
Unless it isn't. And okay. Then you say something,
I'll
right?
say something, yeah. Right, cool. That's right. Yeah. Then I'll finally speak up.
So according to Forbes, Smaug, some people say Smaug, the Spord, he is actually...
I say Smaug after Smorgies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The
Sizzler knockoff that...
Yeah, that no longer exists.
Or yes, maybe does. Maybe there's one in Bendigo or something.
Maybe.
Yeah. Smaug is actually the richest fictional character to ever exist. He has 62 billion worth of gold, which is kind of crazy that that's less than like real people have now.
Sure, right.
That's bizarre, right?
Yeah.
So that includes priceless elvish armor and other various baubles and trinkets and whatnot. Now, he also comes ahead of Richie Rich, Tony Stark, and Carlisle Cullen from Twilight,
who's
apparently a billionaire through interest alone. His interest in various financial markets, no doubt.
That's terrific.
Great. Anyway, Mason, let's talk ruining a film industry.
Oh, boy.
I know.
Now we have to do another one. Here we go.
It's hard because we love these movies. And to come in and just go, there's actually some negative stuff associated with
this. I would say whatever you're going to say now, absolutely not worth it for the movies we got. having recently seen the first two and having a vague memory of the third,
yep.
Huge mistake.
Okay, here we go. Now, I just also want to clarify a lot of this, but not all of it, comes from three videos by Lindsay Ellis, and they go deep into, like, the production behind this, you know, various thoughts and feelings related to these movies and the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
She even has a great interview in it with John Callan, who played Oin in this.
Oh, Oin.
He's like, Oin, I'm Oin. And I'm like, you probably. Anyways.
You might be lying, but I'm not willing to watch these again and check. So
so it was rumored that one of the reasons that Peter Jackson actually stepped in is because that would keep these movies in New Zealand. But then, of course, as opposed to the first movie where he was mostly answering to New Line, there's like five different production houses behind this. Like Warner Brothers got a piece of it and others. Who knows how? Just, there's like five,
it's
all right?
It's part of the Viewersk universe,
it might just be, exactly.
Sure.
So The thing is, though, off the back of the original Lord of the Rings movies, if you were a resident of New Zealand and you're in those movies, say like a Carl Urban, for example, you didn't get any residuals. Uh-huh. If you're like an Elijah Wood, they came to these movies under different conditions.
Interesting.
They still get some kickbacks, or did for a time at least. So Peter Jackson initially wanted to change that to ensure that this didn't happen for a second time, right? So before these movies went into production, the New Zealand Actors Equity Union, they were pushed by a similar Australian union to ensure better conditions. So there was a stop work order issued until things improved, right?
Yeah.
So everybody, every actor who was going to be in this was like, no, we're not doing anything until, you know, we get a bit more coin. You know, we get actually properly paid for our work. But in doing so, there was a bit of pushback because that put everybody else's jobs at risk. So if you were, say, you know, a set builder, an artist, or you were in costuming.
The best boy.
The best boy, for example.
Mm. You're like, I worked hard to become the best boy. I'm not going to become the worst boy overnight.
That's right. Because Warner Brothers were like, well, we'll just move. We'll go somewhere else. Oh. And then all of the other jobs get yanked,
right?
And it's terrible for the New Zealand economy, et cetera, and so forth. So Prime Minister John Key, who was New Zealand Prime Minister at the time, he wanted to make this right. Now, he worked for Merrill Lynch, which is a subsidiary of the Bank of America. It's part of a like wealth management firm. And then he was Prime Minister, as often happens, because, you know, everything's fucked, Mason. Anyways.
I'm not seeing a conflict of interest at all, but go on.
So he was also known as the smiling assassin after cheerfully sacking potentially hundreds of employees with his position at this bank, whilst earning around $5 million New Zealand dollars per year in the late 90s and early 2000s. So that's who we're talking about. So he met up with Warner Brothers and all the studio heads, and then he decided to push through a legislation which resulted in tens of millions of New Zealand subsidies going to Warner Brothers for filming them. And also, all film workers were then considered independent contractors, so they didn't have any ability to organise or unionise or any of that.
Great.
So all that fell apart. And you might be like, well, everything must be fine now, Mason. That's what you're probably thinking.
I'm not thinking.
You're probably
that.
Like, that's trivia-tastic or whatever.
No. I'm gonna.
You're gonna do one of your famous vetoes.
I'm gonna veto that being trivia-tastic. I think that's bad, actually.
Okay, but the thing is, this still affects things in New Zealand today. Like, for example, you know, Amazon are obviously doing that $1 billion Lord of the Rings prequel series, right? It's the most expensive show to ever be made. But initially, or maybe, you know, since they're coming back here, the Lord of the Rings, will alter these laws, all right? And we'll make everything fair again. So there was rumblings of that. And so Amazon were just like, hey, what if we film these in Scotland?
Oh, sure.
And so none of that happened. Mm. So that's where we're at.
Wow.
And that brings us to the modern day, which is the year it is now. Anyways, Mason. Box office time.
That all sounds bad.
No, it is bad.
We'll film The Lord of the Rings in Scotland. As if.
Ack.
Right.
Thank you. That's bad, I think. Right?
Yeah.
If you're Scottish, let us know if that's bad. Yeah. Anyway, box office. You know, obviously, Warner Brothers did very well out of this, as did everyone else, except for the people.
We didn't.
And the people in it.
Oh, yeah, I guess. I lost $20 on the last one because I had to see it in the cinemas.
Yeah. It cost $250 million, but it, of course, made $959 million, which was slightly less than the previous one, which made a bit over $1 billion. But still, people are happy to go out and see a dragon scuttle about with a big hole in him.
That's very true.
Anyways, we're going to be back next week, aren't we, Mason?
Yes.
Because we cannot stop talking about The Hobbit.
We've stopped at two before in a trilogy. We can do whatever we want.
Well, that's true,
but
I guess.
I'm kind of excited to see what the third one brings.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And of course, next week I'm going to be talking about the original version of this, which was going to be made by Guillermo del Toro, his two movies. Yeah. That's a fascinating story in itself.
I think I remember the last one has a lot of like weird CGI people doing CGI flips. Yep. A lot of people like...
Yeah, you remember that correctly.
I think I remember somebody like running on like
you're
like,
right, yep.
Like bits of rock that are just floating in the air.
That's,
yes, that are falling. Yeah, 100%. I remember that. Yeah, correct. That was bad, I think.
That was Legolas. Yeah, he's actually got I feel like he has a fun little brawl in the town in this.
Okay.
You know, and that's good.
Sure.
And then at the end, it ends with him chasing that orc or whatever. And I'm like, well, I hope this guy is not supposed to be in this movie gets that other guy or whatever.
Oh, my God, he's here.
Yeah. The audacity to kill the dragon in the first 10 minutes of the next movie as well. My goodness. And then do more movies.
Then it's just 3 hours of people shuffling around. What are we doing with this bloody dragon?
Yeah. Can we roll it? Probably not.
Should we roll it back into the ocean? It didn't come from the ocean. It's a dragon, you sure? It's not like it belongs in the ocean, honestly. It's got scales. And then there's a vote.
Then there's
and a song.
Yeah. Anyways, if you do want to see that earlier, you can head over to bigsandwich.co, where it will absolutely be there, won't it, Mason? It
absolutely will be there.
It'll go up a day early. Also, if you do sign up there, it's like our private Patreon. There's also bonus podcasts. There's movie commentaries. Our podcast, The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. That actually comes out there a day early on Sunday as opposed to Monday, doesn't
it? Oh, if you're bored on Sunday,
yeah,
go to church.
Yeah, go to church.
Yeah.
And then
listen to our podcast on speakerphone.
You've done the right thing. Mm-hmm. All right, thanks, everybody.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
I thought this whole thing was trivia-tastic, Mason. You going to veto that?
Yeah.
So that's a veto, is it? It's a hard veto.
Whole thing, yeah. Okay. Whole video, actually, yeah.
All right, then.
Okay, bye, everyone.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.